All right, looks like we are live and we are back in action again for Moment of Truth. It's been a while. Things happening, not being able to get on. I just call them technical difficulties. But
really, it's just scheduling. Honestly, it comes down to scheduling.
It comes down to scheduling. That's a technical difficulty. When your IT guy cannot get you online, you know you got trouble. But we are here, and we've got Pastor Roy Carpenter, Oweenaville Baptist Church, and got Chris Cannon, Associate Pastor at First Baptist Church, Troy, Pastor Wayne Lott from Grant Chapel Baptist Church, and myself, Harlan Haynes, Pastor at First Baptist Church in Troy, and then the man that keeps us honest, Thomas Miller, the Minister of IT. It gets us going in that, and we are appreciative for that. And as we just discuss different things, and I think we were looking at discussing this time of, guys, I believe, Bible stories that impacted our lives and how it impacted. And so for those of you listening, if there's a Bible story that that impacted your life, maybe it was as a child, maybe as an adult, we'd love to have your comment on that and tell us what it is. I think that's neat. I mean, the Bible impacts lives, and I know there's so many stories that have impacted mine, but I'm just going to throw it out there for y'all and just say, what Bible story impacted your life?
I can't hear you. What Bible story impacted my life? I read that some email. It looked like it came from Chris. I'm not sure, but the story that impacted my, there's Bible verses that have had more impact on my life than Bible stories. Mm-hmm. Years ago, I mean, many years ago, it's been 12, 13 years ago, I was accused of something that I absolutely did not do. And it nearly tore my church apart. It nearly tore my whole life apart. In fact, nobody believed me. And I found out that at that time that there was only one person or one thing that you could lean on, and that was God. And the whole Bible, I believe, is written for everybody to read and to study and to learn and to find wisdom, and which Jesus Christ is the wisdom of the whole thing. But I believe that God had our brother Paul write Philippians just for me. Hmm. I mean, the whole book. He wrote it just for me. So that at that time when I was the lowest I've ever been, you know, that we talk about being in a valley. You just don't even know how far in a valley I was. And the verses that probably impacted me, the one verse, there's a whole bunch of them in Philippians chapter 4, but the one that helped me through the worst time of my life was, it not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state, whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and how to abound, and everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer. And I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And the thing is, we can do all things. But in that particular verse, it says through Christ. And so you have to put him at the forefront of all your problems. And, you know, every time I get in the valley now, when I come off that mountain and I get in the valley, those verses are there for me, because God never leaves me and never forsakes me. He always keeps me there. And that particular book of the Bible has probably helped me more than anything on this earth. And that's not the only part that's helped me, but that was, at the time, it was the only way that I got through, because it turned out to be just me and God and nobody else. It was just me and him alone in the book of Philippians. That's my story.
That's great. That is great. Yeah, and it's amazing how God will bring the verses or stories to you when you're going through those times, so you have him to grab hold of on that, Roy. I think that's so good. And as we go through the valleys, and we all go through those valleys, but that's where the growth is found and strength is found and God is found in that.
So true.
Who else?
Chris, I already told you about my rain gauge, so it's you got to step up, man.
All right. Well, my rain gauge has got a bunch of dust in the bottom of it right now, but I don't even have a rain gauge. I just asked Harlan how much rain he got, and just kind of, he's 20 miles from me, but it, you know, whatever. I've got to say the Old Testament saints, particularly starting with about Joseph all the way through, oh goodness. My phone thinks that I need information. Sorry about that. Starting with Joseph and just going all the way through like David and Solomon and all of those, everything in between there, that particular section of Old Testament history, I would read those stories when I was a kid. My parents bought me one of these, I guess now they call them graphic novel Bibles, where you've got the story is told and they have illustrations in there for kids. And I read it and read it and read it, and I read the New Testament part as well, but I liked the old so much more. And I think seeing God at work in the lives of all of these people who really went through some amazing things and had some incredible experiences. And you know, in those kids, graphic Bibles, they kind of highlight the cool stuff, the stories that, you know, the David and Goliath and the Exodus and different things like that. And so it had a tremendous impact on me. And I don't remember how old I was. I mean, I could read. So, you know, I was probably in the second or third grade, fourth grade maybe, and on. But I can still remember sitting in my room and just turning page after page and reading that and going back and reading them again. And I don't know if at the time I was thinking, wow, what a tremendous impact on my life. God, you're so awesome. But I think that there were some real foundations that the Lord was laying as I learned the lives of these people who had walked with God. And I think part of my testimony when I was coming to know Christ is I can't remember a time in my life when I did not believe in the Lord. It just never occurred to me, like, why would you not believe in Jesus? Why would you not believe in the God who gave us the Bible? And I think that was largely because of that biblical foundation that was laid very early in my life through that book that my parents gave me and that I spent lots of hours in. And the Lord used that because, I mean, all that. And I think sometimes, especially for me as a parent of my boys, sometimes I think, my goodness, are they catching anything that I'm telling them? And then I hear things that they have said or they have told other people that I'm like, wait, I said that, you know, and so I think that there were foundations being laid in my life as a kid that the Lord used later on and used to build me up. And so I've got to go back all the way and just give the Lord thanks for those Old Testament heroes and so many incredible Bible stories there that impacted me greatly and were very much a bedrock for my faith in the Lord.
Mm. Yes, yes. Definitely. All right, Wayne, I can tell you're smiling, man. You got one.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking about, you know, Psalm 69. And, you know, when I was going through a lot with, you know, in life and really didn't understand what was going on, and Psalm 69 really brought it home to me because you see Jesus all through this scripture. And it started off by saying, save me, O Lord, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep depths where there is no foothold. I have come into the end of, I have come into deep waters where the flood waters engulf me. I am worn out for calling for help. My throat is parched, my eyes fail, looking for my God. Those who hate me without cause are more numerous than the hairs on my head. And then it goes on to say, I am forced to restore what I did not steal. Just kind of like what Roy was saying. Sometimes you can be accused of something and you find yourself trying to justify yourself for something that you know you didn't do. But at the same time, God is just taking you to a different place in Him. And I love how David says, God, you know my follies. You know how foolish I am. You know, and God knows us better than we know ourselves. You know, and He was showing me that that He know, you know, He know me. And I love verse 10 said, when I weep and fast, you know, they scorn me, they poke fun at me. And then it goes on, verse 13 is my favorite part. It says, but I pray to you, Lord, in the time of your favor, in your great love, you will answer me with sure salvation. So that was one that really blessed me to overcome a lot of obstacles in my life, because I think the reference scripture to that is 2 Corinthians 6:2, when it says, now is the time of sure salvation. And when I accepted Jesus Christ and the finished work that He done on the cross, you know, for me. And then that's really when things really start, not so much turning around for me, but a lot of things I really started understanding better in Christ Jesus. Mm. That was my turning point.
Mm. Wow. Wow. Great testimony. Great testimony. Thomas, what you got, man?
Oh, probably maybe two that kind of stick out. Not so much stories. It's just the verses. And then one is as a person of the Bible. You know, I think to Matthew, 6:26, which basically talks about how, I'm a Holman Christian Standard fan, so let's do this. Look at the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? So I just look at the character and story of Paul, who had it pretty rough, you know, at times, and he had moments where he probably wanted to give up, but he fought the good fight and kept going. And so I look at those two that really influenced me. And then, you know, sometimes I look at Job and think, you know, Job had it much worse than what my radiator blew out, you know, but you know what? Job has had it worse. And so for me, that's what I look at.
Yeah, I just, I know growing up, I had a lot of stories. I think, you know, my mom, kind of like you, Chris, I mean, you know, I had the book, and mom would go through it and all the stories. And you know, a lot of these stories of these Old Testament saints, we think of as kids' stories, David and Goliath, you know, Daniel in the lion's den, Noah, and all those, but really they're not. They're for adults, and I think they impact us more and more as adults as we deal with them. And the real sad thing, I think, is the fact that I'm dealing now, and I know guys, you are probably dealing now with folks who never grew up hearing those stories. They have no idea. I remember I was talking about David and Goliath in a Bible study with some adults, and I had an adult guy go, I've never heard that story before. Well, he hadn't grown up in church. He knew nothing about these wonderful stories of the saints and what happened. But probably the one that impacted me as a kid and still does that one of David and Goliath. Mm-hmm. Just the fact of a child being able, you know, as a kid, you know, you feel like you're not worth anything a lot of times. So you feel like, well, nobody pays attention to you. But here is this boy, David, who comes up and, you know, an army cannot beat this Goliath. And they're afraid of him. They're hiding from him. These adults that are supposed to be protecting you as a kid. And David is the one that goes out and slays this giant. And back there as a kid, you know, I, again, insecure, all these things that kids have. But that one right there, David, like, wow, David did this. And as an adult, it still impacts me. Let me know that as long as I've got God on my side, the giants will fall. You know, they're going to fall. I've just got to have trust, and I can't hide. I've just got to go forward in trust. And the fact of the slingshot, and that, and it impacted me so much. I made my own slingshot as a kid, pouch and the strings and going around, and I put up on a tree. It was an old mesquite tree. I put up a 5 gallon bucket on there, and that was Goliath's head. And I stood back, and man, I'm gonna take this guy out. And I practice and practice and practice and practice. And you know what I found out, guys, is that if you don't release that thing right, the rock doesn't go forward towards the bucket, but it can go backwards into a glass window behind you.
No.
I found out how good David really was, man. You know, he could keep that sucker forward. But I got so I could get close to it at times, but that was something. And still, again, today I look at that and I think sometimes, you know, if you feel insignificant in life, I think of David and I go, man, look what this little kid did just because he stepped out. And all I've got to do is do the same. And probably the second would be Daniel in the lion's den. And I remember as a kid imagining this little boy being thrown in the lion's den. It wasn't until later on I realized that Daniel was 80 years old when they threw him in the lion's den. And how he had lived a righteous life for the Lord all these years. And even as an old man, he would not give up. And today, as I'm getting older, you know, it's an impact and influence for me to continue on. No matter what happens, just trust in the Lord.
Harlan, you look good for 32. You know, that's what the ministry does to you.
So. Well, I know I don't look a day older than what I am. So,
you know, y'all talk about them books. I still got mine.
Oh, look at that. Look at that. Oh, man.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Still here.
Yes.
Harlan,
yes,
you talk about people don't know Jesus, don't know the Lord. I don't know if y'all saw the video last week of the guy that was going around the gas station said, if you can quote me one verse of the Bible, I'll buy your tank of gas. Mm-hmm. And he went up to like 10 different people. And one lady knew about 5 words out of John 3:16. Nobody knew a verse from the Bible.
Wow.
And so I was thinking about that when I was watching that video. It's on YouTube if y'all want to see it. Mm-hmm. But I was thinking about it. And I was thinking in my school, you know, I went to a small school. There's only 35, I think, people in my class. I can almost guarantee you that every child in that class back in those days knew at least John 3:16 and no telling what else. I mean, come on, everybody knew Jesus well. I mean, that's given there. But I was thinking about that, and now I'm thinking about all these people. They don't know anything about the Bible. And that makes it hard on a preacher. You think about it. You come in and you open up the Bible to preach the Word of God, and they have no idea what you're talking about. They don't know how to get to that chapter or that verse of the Bible. People, this world's in real trouble. I mean, real trouble.
Yeah, that's good. And that's why, Roy, whenever I no longer take it for granted when I say, well, no, y'all know the story of David and Goliath. And so we'll just go. No, you've got to hit upon that, because that one person just brought that home to me in the fact that the simple that we think every kid knows don't, because kids are growing up without church and they're not hearing these. Yeah. When I was in school, I mean, we had a prayer. We always had the prayer. We had the Pledge of Allegiance. We always had a Bible verse that was read. I mean, this was public school back growing up. But today it's not there, and they're not growing. And so these favorite stories that has impacted our lives and helped our lives, people don't have. They don't have anything to hang on to.
At my hometown pastor years ago, he said the first time he heard the story of David and Goliath was in seminary. I don't know if it was seminary or he went to ETBU, but he heard it first time as an adult in his early 20s. It was the first time he'd ever heard the story of David and Goliath. So for him, it's just one of his favorite stories, and he said the same thing you had said, that you just can't say, well, everyone, you know the story of David and Goliath and Adam and Eve. No, people don't.
Yeah, they don't know anymore.
Yeah.
Not common. You
know, I was watching kind of YouTube today, and I seen that guy that Roy talking about, he do a lot of different ones, and he was in Walmart. And he was walking around, and he was telling people to he'll give them $20 if they can quote a scripture from the Bible. And like Roy was saying, there's so many people that don't know. And it was this lady. She said, and I'm a pastor's daughter. Hmm. And she said, I can't remember. She said, I know John 3:16, but she said, I can't get it off the top of my head. And once she started, she kind of remembered it. But the Bible tells us that it's going to be a great falling away.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that now. And the reason we see, because the enemy, what the enemy does is the enemy don't want you to know where he go through generations. And if he can stop the parents from teaching their children and so on and so on later on, nobody won't know. And it's like the parents, if they don't know, how they're going to teach their children. You know, and that's what we're seeing now. You're seeing pretty much parents that weren't raised up in church, and now they're having children, and the only way their children is knowing about church if they come to Vacation Bible School, or if somebody might tell them about a scripture or something, and the children is bringing the parents back to church, you know.
Well, we had in that, Chris, you know, you can attest, we had a couple of kids at our last Vacation Bible School. It was the first time they'd ever come to church. They'd never been to church.
My wife was talking about a lady that was at her work, at her job, and her granddaughter, her grandson, I don't know which one, but went to Vacation Bible School for the first time this year and came home and was so interested, wanted to go to church. Nobody in the family goes to church.
Mm-hmm.
So the grandmother had to go pick this child up, you know, drive 20 or 30 miles, whatever, pick this child up and take him to church because nobody goes to church. This kid came back from Vacation Bible School and wanted to be part of that. Mm-hmm. There was nobody to help him out. And that's just sad to me.
It is sad, but that shows where people put God in their life scale, I guess, if you will. God is never a thought. Well, and if they've never been brought up in church, then there to them, God is just another thing. We're just another social club that people go to, you know, and all that. And they don't realize the importance of it. And regretfully, too, what I found out is a lot of times these folks live right next to churchgoers, and they never go next door to tell these people or invite them to church or to help them. And that's on us. That's on the church.
Yeah.
There.
And, you know, another thing is they done heard something about church or something negative, or somebody that belong to church done put them down or telling them something negative, or not telling them that God accept them for who they are and just come as you are. And later on, you'll change, you know, God will change you from the inside. But a lot of people think that they see people that supposed to go to church outside the church doing all kind of crazy stuff. And they say, why should I go when I'm seeing you do all this, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. We're our own. And it's just like, you know, people say, well, you Christians. And I said, man, not everybody goes to church as a Christian. They're relying on going to church to get to heaven or doing works or whatever. But I got to agree with Billy Graham, probably 80% of the people who are in any given church on any given Sunday morning don't really know the Lord as Savior. You know, I found, I got a quote. I get this quote of the day, and William Wilberforce said this. He said, if you love someone who is destroying his or her life due to faulty thinking, but you say nothing because you fear what they might think, then it would seem that rather than being loving, you're in fact being cowardly. Mm-hmm. And I think we got a lot of cowardly Christians out there. They say they love, but.
I believe that 100%.
Yeah.
You know, and you know what I learned in my walk with Christ? Jesus really didn't care nothing about your feelings. He cared about your salvation.
Amen.
Yeah. You know, and we need to, in order, like the Bible tells us this, that the word is like a double-edged sword. The truth hurts, but it's for your own good. Yeah. You know, and if and like you said, if you don't tell a person and the right thing, and you see them doing wrong, you just as guilty as they are.
Yeah, it's just, how can you love someone and not be truthful with them?
Yeah.
You know, just going on and agreeing with them is not loving them. I may agree with Chris wanting to run across I-35, well, blindfolded, but that's not loving. Loving,
you doing that again?
Grabbing him and throwing him
again? No, he did that last time.
Yeah. I just can't get it out of my system.
We're going to sit on the grandstand and sell tickets, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll tell you,
ride home is what I'm trying to get.
Yeah. I'll tell you another thing. We see this all the time on American Idol. Somebody can tell somebody the truth about their singers. You know, just come on. Some people just can't sing. And they get on American Idol. They get mad at Simon because Simon tell them the naked truth. Yeah. And they done been told stories to all this time. You can sing. When they get in front of all the people and they realize they can't sing, they just like broken.
Yeah.
You know, tell them the truth. You know, maybe you need to do something a little different, but you know, but.
And we can be loving as we tell the truth.
Yeah.
I think that's the whole thing. I think we've got some pharisaical Christians, you know, mm-hmm. They're not loving. They're just, they want to hit you and hurt you, but we can lovingly tell the truth,
mm-hmm.
and draw people to Christ.
That's right.
I was reading the other day that we're caught up in what they call cultural tolerance, you know, that we tolerate sin. We tolerate sin, other people's sin. We think that they're sinning, but we don't have the guts because we have this tolerance to go ahead and, oh, well, go ahead. And, you know, we as Christians have the same problems. We say, okay, it's against the law it's against the Bible, says thou shalt not steal. And then you go down to the restaurant and you say, you know what? I'm out of sweet and low at the house. I'll grab a few packs, put them in my wife's purse. And that's stealing. You know, your tolerance is high these days. And we have the morals of a bunch of alley cats in this world today. And so we have to put up with that. And there's a lot of things going on there, you know, but yeah. Mm. I know there's people say, well, I can get you a piece of this metal over here at the shop. They won't say anything if I take it and bring it home to you. I don't want it.
Yeah.
That's right.
Because you just stole it.
That's right.
I don't want to be part of your sin.
Well, that's right. And, you know, and a lot of folks, well, I've done this, so I've already gone this far. That's just the way it is. And not come back. But, again, I go back to an Old Testament story of, you know, David and Bathsheba. Where his morals were that of an alley cat, you know, let's face it. But yet he repented and later on became known as a man after God's own heart. I mean, we can turn around the truth. And there was a prophet who told him the truth.
That's
lovingly, but told him the truth, no matter if it hurt. And that's what brought David back. And that's what we've got to do.
All right, hit home with that metal, because I had got some metal from work. I get like for my barbecue pit, and they be like, "You stealing that? You're not supposed to be taking that metal." I put up a text. I done text the owner, and this is what he said. So I have, this is my receipt right here.
That's it. The owner says it's okay. It's okay.
Oh, you tell people in that front office, it's all right.
Right. I had to holler. You hear that, Deborah? Because she said you be taking them people metal. I said no, I have a receipt.
Oh man,
Thomas, what we got time wise, man?
We are right at 7 p.m.
7 o'clock.
All right. Well, I tell you what, guys, this has been fun. I've enjoyed this a little bit about verses, favorite verses, Bible stories, but also, you know, folks, if you're not going to church, you need to go. And I know sometimes people say, well, I don't know anything. Well, that's how you learn. And trust me, I, as a pastor, do not know everything. I guarantee you, these guys as pastors do not know everything. We're learning also. The more I learn, I tell people this all the time, the more I dig into scripture, the more I realize I don't know. because it's just so deep. And this is a way to go. And I guarantee you, if you'll go wanting to grow, you will grow. And there's some great things in the Bible that can impact your life. And the greatest of that is a knowledge of Jesus Christ and coming to know Him as your Lord and Savior. That will impact your life more than anything else. And so I would encourage you, one of these churches, show up this Sunday. I guarantee you're going to be loved. You're going to be loved. You're going to be welcome. You're going to hear the Word of God preached unashamedly. You'll walk out of there knowing that God loves you. No matter who you are or what you've done, God loves you. And I think that's what's important right there. Tell you what, Roy, why don't you close us out in prayer?
Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this night and for this time that we've had to study, talk about, and understand your word, Father. We thank you so much for the wisdom that you provide through your Son, Jesus Christ, for us to study and learn the Bible and the relationship that we can get from you and for you by the study of your word. Father, thank you for that, and thank you for the blessings that you give each and every one of us as we reach out and try to outreach to the community around us. Father, just give us that power through the Holy Spirit that you provide, that He will guide us in all things. Father, thank you so much for all the blessings. For us, in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hey, guys, thank y'all for being part. Those of you watching, thank y'all for joining us. And Kathy, I'll be in the living room in a little bit.